Okay, 2 weeks ago, I started talking about a topic that we don't talk much about, and I'm going to finish up today. And the topic is assurance. And I think I mentioned, in fact, I even played you a little excerpt of a song called Blessed Assurance. It was probably, if they had the top 10 Christian songs, favorite songs, it was probably in the top 10, probably from 1870s to the 1970s. But Blessed Assurance, what is that talking about? What does that mean? Also, I think I mentioned this also as well. When I was in high school, after I really gave my life to the Lord, someone, it was actually some missionaries in Taiwan, they gave me my first Bible study booklet. And it was called Assurance. That's all it was, Assurance. And I don't think I appreciated it at the time, but looking back, that helped lay an important foundation in my life. So last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about assurance. By the way, another word to use would be confidence. Assurance or confidence in that we have truly been born again. We've been regenerated by the power of God. We are saved. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And in 1 John 5, verse 13, was the verse we looked at. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Yes, we can know for sure that we have eternal life. God wants us to know for sure that we belong to Him and that we have eternal life. And if we don't have that assurance or that confidence, our Christian walk is always going to be up and down, and we'll never have sustained spiritual growth. So very important that we all know for sure that we belong to Him and that we have eternal life. Well, today I want to talk about two more areas in which we need to have this blessed assurance. And the first one is assurance that God loves me. In fact, many of the songs this morning talked about that. And, okay, I thought my eyes were going, okay. Now, this seems rather obvious. After all, so many scriptures state this so clearly. But yet, when it comes to everyday life, we often live as if we don't really know this. So let's just start by looking at a few scriptures. We're not going to look at all of them, of course. But it's important because unless we see it in God's Word, we never can have that assurance or that confidence. So let's just, real quick here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, and it goes on. There's a great love, and when God loves in a great way, that is really powerful. Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. Paul is praying for the Ephesians. He says, so that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. He's talking about love there, God's love. And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. God's love. It's you can't even get your arms around it. Its length, its height, its depth is so big. And it surpasses all knowledge. The love that God has for us. Romans 8, 37. It says, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Or we could say who loved me. just as it is written. Well, no, why don't we kind of, maybe verse 38 and 39. I don't think I have 38 up there, but for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love is so great. And we need to know that. First John, the whole book, it's a major theme. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's how, I mean, God, He so loved us. Verse 19. We love because He first loved us. Chapter 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. In fact, just in the book of 1 John, many times we are called beloved. What does beloved mean? We actually had a song this morning about beloved. Beloved means the one who is loved. And who is it that loves us? It's God. He loves us with so much love, with this great love. And we could go on and on looking at verses. Actually, it'd be a great personal Bible study for people to do, looking at all the passages in which we're told that God loves us unconditionally, not like we love one another, which is often with conditions. But we can't just know this in our mind. We need to get it deep within us as well. Because you see, how we see God's love will affect our thinking. It will affect our thinking about God, who He is. It will affect our thinking about ourselves, about others, about circumstances in life. If we have a superficial understanding of His love, we're going to gravitate toward, God must be mad at me today. He must be upset. I must have done something wrong. Everything's going wrong. Or we have a fear of the future. Or we begin to look down at others. We're critical of other people. Or I'm not sure this is ever going to work out. God, you've abandoned me. That all shows that we have a superficial understanding of God's love. Now, on the other hand, if I have a deep-rooted understanding of His love, I enjoy God's presence. I can know He's in control of all things. I look forward to seeing how He's going to work things out, even though maybe things are kind of confusing at the time. You know, I value all people. If we get all worked up over everything that goes wrong, what does that tell us about how we understand His love? It tells us we don't understand it much. So how we respond to others, ourselves, to circumstances, it's really a barometer of how much we know the love of God. See, our loving Father will not give us a rock instead of bread. He will not give us a serpent instead of a fish. He would not give us a serpent instead of an egg because He's a loving Father and we see Him that way. And knowing God loves us and knowing His love for us is really the path to finding true love, true joy, and true peace. Ephesians 3, we just read it, tells us that clearly knowing His love means that we will be filled up to all the fullness of God. It is how we get strengthened in the inner man. There's no other path. We need to know God's love. And do we have an assurance that God loves us? There's another assurance. Then we want to kind of talk about these together a little bit. we also need to have an assurance that God is working inside of me. He's working inside of me, and he's working his purpose in me. Philippians 1:6. And I've deliberately kind of selected verses a lot of us know because it would be easy to refer back to them. Paul says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will what? He will perfect it into the day of Christ Jesus." In other words, until he comes back or until we're with him, the work that God started inside of each of us, when we simply by faith said, "Lord, I can't save myself. I need you. I decide to follow you. I receive your gift of eternal life." Once that happens, God starts a good work inside of us. Actually, even since the foundation of before the foundation of the world, he's been kind of preparing and getting ready for that good work. So it's not like, "Oh no, someone else came to know me. What can I do as far as a good work?" No, he's not at loss. He's already had it figured out, planned out. And it kicks in when we kind of say, "Yes, Lord." And it's a good work he's doing inside of us. Philippians 2, verse 13. "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So God's purpose in us is to do something that's going to glorify him. Maybe one more. Ephesians 2, verse 10. "For we are his workmanship." And by the way, does God have a workmanship that he's going to do halfway? No. You are his workmanship. We could say you are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He has a plan for you, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And of course, there's many other passages. God is working inside of us for his pleasure. And for what purpose? He is making us into the image of his son, Jesus. He's transforming us in the inner man. He's making us into vessels in which he can use for his purposes here on earth. He desires that we would be engaged in the good works that he has so destined us for, bearing fruit, or as John 15 says, bearing much fruit. Do we see, do we know that God is working in us? God is at work inside of each of us, even in those dark times when we can't see. And we've all been there, right? Where it just seems like all's dark, including God's work in me. "Lord, I know you're supposed to be working in me, but it seems like I'm not going anywhere. It seems like I'm going backwards. It seems like I'm going in circles." But if we have that confidence, that assurance that he's working in me, his good work, then even if I don't see what's happening, I can have that hope, as Judy said. I can keep marching forward. God is at work even when we fail. Because how many times have all of us failed in our walk with the Lord? We've made a commitment to him and we've fallen flat on our faces. Or we've kind of made a commitment. "I'm not going to get angry anymore." And then we mess up. And we feel like a failure. God is at work even when we failed. Now, we have to have assurance of these things. And the enemy will challenge that truth. He will look at our failures and point them out to us. He will show us how you don't see God doing anything, do you? And we look around because it's all dark and we kind of say, "No, I don't see God doing anything." That is the enemy. He will call into question whether God has abandoned us. I think God's left you. I think he's given up on you. I mean, after all, you have really messed up a lot. You know, he can't work in your life. That's impossible. That's the work. Those are the lies of the enemy. And it runs contrary to what God says in his word. God works in our lives even in the midst of tribulation, even in times of affliction. Actually, he does some of his most delicate work when we're going through times of tribulation and affliction. And we need to see that. Do we have that assurance? God loves me, and he's at work inside of me. Now, sure, I might fight sometimes with him, but that doesn't cause him to give up on me. Now, there's some other areas that we need to have assurance in that really fall under these two. Like, he will care for me. God's word says that. In fact, God's word goes to great lengths to say that he cares about every detail of our life. It even says he has every hair on my head counted. I don't have all the hairs of my hair counted, even though I am kind of losing some, you know. I still can't count them all. He knows all of it. He does not know a single sparrow cannot fall to the ground without him knowing that. How much more, Jesus says, does he care for you? He knows all my thoughts, even before I think them. That's how much he cares for me. He'll protect me. And by the way, that's all part of his love. He will protect me. I don't have to fear. My life is in his hands. He will guide me in his paths. Now, of course, I've got to be seeking him, but I don't have to be wondering, did I make the right decision? Maybe I didn't. Maybe I wasn't listening to the Lord. Maybe this, maybe that. You know what? God has a way of guiding us in his paths. Now, if we're in deliberate disobedience, that's one thing. But if we are sincerely trying to follow him, we don't have to worry or fear that we've made a mistake. He will guide us in our paths, in his paths for us. And sometimes we start walking in his paths and all of a sudden it gets like there's a big uphill. Or there's maybe it's getting real thick. Maybe it's kind of a swamp. And we start thinking, maybe I need to go another way. And we take things in our own hands. We need to have confidence, assurance that God loves me, he's working in my life, he's caring for me, he's protecting me, he's guiding me in his paths. These are things that we need to have that blessed assurance in. But it has to be something deep down inside, in our heart, not just here, but because all of us in this room would say, yeah, that's right, that's right. But do we know it down here? These things serve as an essential foundation for a life that will be fruitful, for a foundation for us to grow, for us to experience the joy and peace he's given us. Now, how do we get that assurance or that confidence? You may kind of think, yeah, Mike, well, that sounds all good. You know, I'll sign up for that. I want to know God's love. I want to know he's working with me. But how do I do it? Well, first of all, there's no shortcut. I don't have five easy steps. I don't even have five difficult steps. But there are two things that I know that will bring that confidence and that assurance. One is to pray. Ask God for that assurance. It seems simple, but sometimes that's overlooked. I mean, Jesus even told his disciples once, you have not because you're not asking me for anything. He wants us to ask him, and we know that's in his will. That, Lord, I want to have an assurance that you love me. I want to know the breadth and the height and the depth and the... height, depth, length. Yeah, length. Okay, I knew it was there. I knew there were four of them. You know, I want to know your love that way. It won't happen like that, but he'll, as we pray and seek him, he will build that into our life so much that we don't question it. 1 John 5:14. It says, this is the confidence, I like that, there it is again, which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Does he want us to know his love? Of course he does. It's his will. So we can ask that with confidence. Or Luke 11:9-10. These Jesus's, actually he tells his disciples this several times. So I say to you, ask, and it might be given. No, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Now, we all know that verse, don't we? But do we believe it? Do we just say, yes, Lord, I ask that I would have that assurance? That's a major part of getting that assurance. The second thing is, and you've probably heard me say this 10,000 times before, God's Word. As we read, study, meditate on His Word, which is living and active, begins to root itself in our lives, in our minds, and in our hearts, and something supernatural begins to happen. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. I like that. It restores the soul. It restores the soul to the place where it's supposed to be, the way God created it to be. God's Word is alive. It's sharp. It brings healing and insight. It restores. It revives. And when we meditate on His Word, it goes deep down. We are transformed. Truth becomes rooted and established in my soul. You know, a picture that we've used before, I believe, coming up? Yes. Here's a person who is rooted in truth. By the way, what is truth? Jesus said, it's my word. God's word and truth are the same. And we need to be established and rooted in truth, not in lies. This is God doesn't love you. He's going to abandon you. You better watch out. I think God's taking you down the wrong path. Those are lies. That is not the truth of God's word. And, you know, it goes two ways. We are rooted and established in His truth, and also His truth becomes rooted and established in me. It's like what Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. Well, which is it? It's both. And that's the way it is with God's Word. We're to be rooted in His Word, and His Word's supposed to be rooted in us. And I think the next picture here is kind of an example of someone who has poor roots. We've used these before, I know. You've seen these before. Most of you have. But if we are not very rooted, what happens? It's kind of like some of the lodgepole pines around here. You know, they have shallow roots. And when a windstorm comes, what happens? They fall over, don't they? And they block our trails that we want to go hiking on. On the other hand, there's some trees, like the cottonwood tree that you see around the rivers and everything. The cottonwood tree, they say that the roots going down are more or less the same distance as what's above. So if you have a cottonwood tree that's 40 feet tall, you can have roots 40 feet down. You never see cottonwood trees fall, do you? Never. You know, maybe they have sometime or another, maybe in a flood or something, but usually you don't, because they're well-rooted and established. And that's what God wants for us to be in his word, in his truth. And so as we read and study and meditate in God's word concerning things like his love for me, I become rooted in that. And that truth becomes rooted in me. And I'm stable. I don't go back and forth. I'm not falling over all the time. Now, that doesn't happen overnight, does it? Roots take a while to get established. But it comes as we allow God's word to get inside of us. By the way, that's the purpose of our discipleship groups. You know, sure, it's a Bible study. It's always good to have a Bible study. We hang out together. That's always fun. At least ours is always fun. You know, but most important is through these books that we're doing, we want to get God's word rooted and established inside of us, because that's the life that's going to be joyful, full of God's peace. And as we know God's love, we're able to love other people in a new way, a supernatural love. That's the purpose of our individual study of God's word. Now, the most common reason I hear for people not having a consistent time in God's word is, I don't have time. You don't know my schedule. I have small children. I have teenagers. I've got a busy job. I have two busy jobs. You know, I have my own business. You know, I've got a lot of pressure on me. There's always reasons. But I can tell you, if you make the investment in studying and getting to know God's word, meditating on God's word, that investment will come back to you. Not just in spiritual blessing, such as peace and joy, but it will also make everything else in your life be multiplied. In fact, I would say, if you're busy, you can't afford not to invest more time in God's word. Because if we're busy, we're out in the world, we're being bombarded by all sorts of things. You know, and we especially need to be rooted and grounded in God's word. So how do we get this assurance? How do we get this confidence that God loves me, that I belong to him, that he's working in my life, that he cares for me, he's protecting me, he's guiding me in his paths of righteousness? I ask him sincerely. Not just once, but it's a regular prayer I have. Lord, I need this in my life. And second, I'm consistent in my walk, in my study and meditation of God's word. And that's how we're going to get that assurance. Amen? Let's pray. And I want us to, if you are having a difficult time getting some of this truth down here, like God's love for you, I encourage you right now, just say, Lord, I need this. I need this. So let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that when you, in your great love for us, in your great mercy, you brought us into your kingdom, that it wasn't just to leave us in uncertainty. But Lord, you want us to know for sure that we belong to you and that our names are written in the book of life. You want us to know your love. It's not just something reserved for when we get to heaven, but you want us to know and experience your love today. Lord, you want us to know, even in those dark times, those times of tribulation, that you are working in our lives. We don't always see it, but we can have that confidence that even though we don't see it, we rejoice even knowing that you're doing something very beautiful inside of us. Lord, that type of assurance so many times, Lord, escapes us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would work these truths into our lives. Lord, it's something supernatural. But Lord, your word, your truth is supernatural. And so, Lord, we ask, Lord, that we would be rooted and established in your truth. And Lord, that your truth would be established and rooted inside of us. Lord, that's our prayer this morning. We ask that you would do that, no matter where we are, if we've been in the Lord for a long time or just recently. Lord, we ask that you would do that inside of us. And Lord, all of us need to know more, especially your love, the length and the height and the depth and the breadth of it. We want to know your love like that. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.